Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help us all experience true freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a problem issue you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Peter had this to say at the end of his first letter. He said, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." Now, the book of Peter is a letter addressing suffering that Christians are going to experience just because they're Christians. And certainly back in that day, the Christians were being persecuted quite harshly and extensively, and it was brutal to bear the name of Christ. And so he was writing to give them some encouragement. And what he was basically saying, if you're going to endure, if you're going to get through these trials and tribulations of life, there's only one way to do it, and that's by knowing what the grace of God is and standing fast in it. There's no other solution to the trials and tribulations that we face. If we want genuine healing in our hearts and souls, if we want to experience peace and hope and, you know, this optimistic look toward the future, we have to know the grace of God. And Peter was brilliant in sprinkling out the grace of God through this letter and then saying, hey, because of this, you can go through this trial and this tribulation. You do have what you need to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. You do have what you need to endure and come to the other side. He said things like this, that you have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's grace. Being born again, made alive in Christ, that's grace. Those of us who were once dead in sin have been made alive. That's what it means to be saved by grace. He goes into chapter 3, the fact that Jesus died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Forgiveness of sin, that's the grace of God. Yeah. And when we know it and understand it, then we can stand fast in it and get through the trials and tribulations and sufferings that we endure in this world as we wait for the glory that is soon to be revealed to us when Christ comes back.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob, for those wonderfully encouraging opening statements. This is, of course, Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. We want you to come in and join the conversation. Plenty of open lines for you to do so right now, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. If you have something you'd like to discuss, great opportunity right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Simi Valley, California, and talk with Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
I met two of you Bobs when there were three Bobs at Mount Hermon in 1994. So I'm a longtime listener, but this is the first time that I've called in.
Well, welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. My question under the New Covenant, or in light of the New Covenant, is about when Jesus is talking in Luke 9:57 through 62, and especially the verse 62 where he says, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Well, what makes us fit for the kingdom of God is faith in what Jesus has done, right?
That's correct.
So what? I don't understand what's going on there.
Well, this is a wonderful conversation that Jesus is having with some folks, and they've come up and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." That's a nice sentiment. And then he says, "Well, you know, let me kind of paint the picture for you. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So if you're going to follow me wherever I go, then this is the kind of life that's up ahead for you. Are you willing to do that? And then to another man, he says, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Before I follow you, I have other things that I need to take care of. And so it's like, you know, I understand this is what I should be doing, but I have more pressing matters that need my attention, that need my time. And so he says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And still another, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Again, he has more. This person has more pressing matters at hand than following Jesus Christ, and so he's just drawing those contrasts. And with that attitude, you're never really going to come to Christ, because there's always going to be something more pressing, more important to you. First, let me do this. Well, you've done that. Well, something else has come up, and I need to handle that, and then something else has come up. So what he is really getting at is, you know, what's really going on in your heart? You say you want to follow me, but I don't believe that that's what's really going on in your heart. And I think he's just trying to surface that in these particular individuals.
So he's just bringing out what's really in their hearts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we say a lot of things with our lips, but we really don't mean them, do we?
Right.
And I think this is what was going on there. I mean, if you saw Jesus, there were the disciples, you know, Peter and James and John and Andrew, and they're out in their boats and they're fishing. They're doing what they love. They're doing what they're good at. They're doing, you know, their jobs, what brings them money and income and all of that. And Jesus walks along the shore, and they see him, and he cries out to them, or calls out to them, says, follow me. And they left everything. They left it all to follow Jesus. And so there was a lot of folks that looked at that and said, wow, I would like to be, you know, one of those folks following Jesus. But there was something about him that wasn't quite as important to them as their current life. And he's saying, you've got to lose your current life in order to gain true life. You need to die to the old in order to come alive to the new. And that's a consistent theme throughout the New Testament. And he was just giving his take on that.
Okay. And that's something that we're always doing as in our Christian life, is dying and coming alive. Would you say?
Well, Joyce, I mean, there was a particular moment in your life where you died in Christ and were raised to walk in the newness of life. You were born again into that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have died, and now you have been raised to walk in the newness of life.
Right.
That's happened. That happened at a point in time. And
right.
Now in your mind, you need to reckon that as so. That was a spiritual birth. It was something that took place in the deepest recesses of who you are, your human spirit. That's what was quickened. That was what was made alive. God's spirit has come to take up residence right there, Joyce. And now through that connection, your spirit with God's spirit, through that, the Word of God starts filtering out into the mind. So our minds start getting renewed. And part of that renewal is that, hey, I had an old life. I've let go of that old life, and I'm grabbing hold of the new. And that's a process that we're continually in. And then that filters down to our choices, the things that we decide to do, and then our actions. So that's the process of this new life being lived out through this soul and body of ours.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That helps a lot.
Well, you're welcome, Joyce. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer, by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. I think you'll really enjoy it. And
it's great. Okay, that'd be great.
And it's great to hear from a longtime friend.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are pretty much wide open. We want to hear from you. We want you to come in and be a part of this particular edition. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Bob Christopher, my name is Bob Davis, and again, welcome. Guys had a question from Robert, who wrote to us from Fleming Island, Florida, just this morning. Says, I was talking to a new friend who is Catholic who has been working on being confirmed for 2 years. We started talking about salvation, and he believes that a person can lose his or her salvation, but could not give me the verse at the time. Apparently, this is a Catholic belief. However, I came across James 5, 19 and 20, which says, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. And then Robert goes on to say, I know Jesus died for all sins on the cross, and at that point in time, all sins were forgiven from the cross back to Adam and from the cross to eternity. And that the unforgivable sin, of course, is unbelief in Jesus Christ. Can you tell me where in the Bible it states, once saved, always saved? I know the subject is going to come up when I talk to my friend again.
Well, there's no verse in the Bible that uses that phrase, once saved, always saved. That's not something you're going to find anywhere either in the Old Testament or the New Testament. So that's just a phrase that people have come up with to describe the work Christ Jesus has accomplished for us. Well, Jesus Christ did this. He took away all of our sins. So his blood was sufficient to take away not just some of my sins and not just some of your sins, but all of our sins, every single one of them. So if I sin today, I can be confident of the fact that Jesus has already dealt with that particular sin, that he judged it guilty. He said it deserved punished, and the punishment was death, and he happened to step into my shoes and take that punishment for me. So we know that he's dealt with every single sin. Well, when we look back through Scripture, we go all the way back to Genesis, we see that sin is the cause of death, separation from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they chose to rebel against God and follow Satan's plan, they died. They didn't die physically that day. They died spiritually. They were separated from the life of God. And before that life could be given back to us, sin had to be dealt with once and for all.
Right.
That's why the cross. That's what Jesus did. And once it was done, now, Jesus was raised back to life to show that he has power over sin and death. And when we come to faith by him, we receive that forgiveness of sins. We receive that new life in him. And that new life is eternal. Not only the length of life, but the quality of life. There's something different about this new life that we have in Christ. And Jesus' death on the cross guarantees it to be eternal life. We will never lose it. Why? Because what took it away from us to begin with, sin, has been removed, has been sent away once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when we look at that, you say, when you're saved, are you always saved? Absolutely. Jesus promised he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. There's no sin that is greater than the blood of Jesus. So we can count on that. We can count on the fact that we are secure in Christ. And I love what the writer of Hebrews said as far as this salvation and as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, that as our high priest, he saves us completely. This isn't a temporary reprieve. It's not a partial saving. It is a complete salvation.
Yeah.
So we can know with full assurance of faith that when we are absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord.
Absolutely. Robert, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And Bob, you mentioned you're going to be sending Joyce a copy of The Hurt and the Healer, and we'd like to let all of our listeners know that if you'd like to get a copy of your own of Bart Millard, Andrew Farley book, The Hurt and the Healer, it can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And all you need to do to request yours and to make your gift is go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can request yours by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Plenty of open lines, time remaining on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. A question came in also by email this morning from James, who lives here in the Lone Star State and concerns Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Tell me again the understanding of this verse. Neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Is this are these words that Jesus spoke while under the law? That's from James, who writes to us from someplace in Texas.
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, these are the two verses that follow what we would say is the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. But it's a continuation of the thought that was given to us in the Lord's Prayer. We often stop when we shouldn't, when we're reading it or when we're reciting it at a church service or something like that. But it's very interesting when you read the actual words of this particular prayer. You know, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." So what is Jesus teaching us about forgiveness? Do I want my forgiveness from God to be the same type of forgiveness that I pass on to others? Because that's what the verse says. Lord, forgive me my debts as I have forgiven my debtors, or the transgressions of others who have wronged me. So he's saying that your forgiveness of sins is dependent upon the fact that you are forgiving others. And you can expect to receive exactly what you are giving out to others. So what is it that you're giving out to others? What kind of forgiveness are you extending to them? And I think when you look at it in those terms, you say, whoa, I'm in trouble because I'm not out forgiving those who have wronged me.
Right.
I'm out trying to get even with them. I'm trying to make things right and to get myself back into a positive position as far as this relationship is concerned. I'm not writing those things off the books. I'm not sweeping those things under the carpet. I'm judging it, and I am judging it harshly. And then you say, Lord, that's what I want from you. That's what I'm giving to others, so that's what I'm asking from you. Because that's what the prayer says, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me as I have forgiven others. I think you read that and you look at it for what it is, for what it says. I think the only thing you can say is, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And Jesus goes on to say, this is how much trouble you're in. If you don't forgive men, don't expect your Father in heaven to forgive you. I mean, that's serious.
Well,
that is harsh. It was like, whoa, I am in trouble. That's why we need Jesus, because we can't forgive others until we have received the forgiveness of God. We don't know what forgiveness is apart from understanding the forgiveness that we have in Christ. So if I'm going to get forgiven based on how I forgive others, I might as well just give up, because I am doomed. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. And that's why he goes on to say, after the cross, once this new covenant has been ushered in, a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more, a covenant in which says that with these having been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin, he tells us to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. Once we've come to Christ and received forgiveness, we know what forgiveness really is. And now we have something to pass on to others. So this was a prayer before the cross. It was a prayer to judge our guilty hearts, to show us what's really going on inside. We're not a forgiving people. We're not a forgiving lot until we come to understand the forgiveness of God. And that's what we desperately needed, and that's what we received through faith in Christ.
All three of these, the call that we got in these two questions, all come under the heading of all or nothing. Salvation, a relationship with Jesus, has always been an all or nothing affair. We, you know, and here we see the negative side. I am incapable of forgiving all of the sins that have ever been committed against me. Therefore, I'm in trouble. On the other hand, if you look on the positive side, we have been given everything. Christ gave all of himself to us to save us. And all we have to do is say, I'll take the gift, the entire gift. I'm not going to try to cherry pick the gift. I'm not going to try and earn the gift. I'm just going to accept the gift. And once we've done that, then it all belongs to each of us in Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Loretta in Kentucky, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Loretta.
Hi.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
I'm calling because the Spirit let me know that my pastor had committed adultery. I noticed you teach the other Bible teaches eternal salvation. How do people respond to something like that? Since you're saying that he's saved, he's eternally, how do you, I don't like the word evaluate, because how does that stand with God, put it that way?
Well, I mean, God's not in favor of adultery. There's a reason he calls it sin, because it causes heartache. I mean, there's a family, if it's true that the pastor is involved in that. There's going to be heartache for his family, for his wife, for his kids, for the church family. There's going to be a lot of pain that
but
is endured.
People don't know. Everybody don't know it. So,
right. So if you know it to be true, if you know that to be true, it's not just speculation. If you know it to be true, the Word of God would say to you, Loretta, to go and speak to them. And to say, I know this is happening. Is it true? And to confront them. And if they don't own up to it, or he doesn't own up to it, he denies it, and you still know it to be true, then it says to take it to the elders. Take it to the leaders of that particular body.
Well, I haven't actually seen this happen, but it's the Spirit revealed that to me, so I haven't seen him in a hotel. I haven't seen him do this, but the It's confirmed by the Spirit, and so.
Well, I would.
Still the same thing. You go to the pastor and say, "What's going on?"
I don't think he's still doing this. I think that it's something that happened. I don't think he's continuing. This is something that happened.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is something that he's continuing to do.
But well, Loretta, if you don't know that it's happened, I mean, if you're just saying, you know, the Spirit has confirmed it to me, You don't go and accuse somebody in leadership unless you really know.
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would be very, very cautious with that. Indeed. But what God would want in that particular situation is for restitution and restoration. He's not going to condemn. He's already condemned sin. He knows that if somebody's doing that, there's all kinds of pain and misery that person is going through, and there's all sorts of pain and misery that others are going to be suffering as a result. He wants to bring resolution to it. He wants to bring healing to heart so that the pastor or whoever it is can start trusting the Lord again in his day-to-day life and his marriage and learn how to get to the other side of this in a very positive way. Well, Loretta, we're out of time. Thanks for your call today. You hang on. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer.
Friends, Basic Gospel, of course, remains on the air only through your ongoing support, your gifts of our listeners, people like you. And right now, we say thanks for your generous gift in any amount by sending you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Inspired by the number one Christian song with the same name, The Hurt and the Healer addresses the truth that we all hurt, and the way to true healing is in Jesus Christ. Copy is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. Also, while you're online at basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.